MILF Talk is brought to you in part by Casper Mattresses. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/MILF. That's M-Y-L-F. Hello and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101. That's M-Y-L-F. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and sex, and how to make it all just a little more fabulous. So today, I ask you, is your life story worthy? Do you have fabulous or at least interesting stories? Even your bad stories, can you see how they make up the puzzle of who you are today? Well, my guest today is quickly becoming one of my favorite ladies on the planet. I read her book, Pit to LAX, My Story Worthy Life, and I think I've developed at least a first level girl crush on her. She's awesome. She has her own show here on Sideshow Network called Story Worthy, which is super fun. But the most important thing you need to know is that she has a book available on Amazon. It's awesome, and you should read it. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Christine Blackburn. Woo!
Yay for me. Oh, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It's a big deal. Yeah, it takes quite a while, as you know. You inspired me, Sophie, last time I was on your show. Last time I was on MILF Talk, I was looking at your book, MILF Talk 101, and the size of the book and the way the spine was. I just liked the look of it, and it gave me further inspiration to finally publish it.
Well, I'm so happy.
It's really exciting. Yeah, I mean, I love your book as well.
Because I was going, well, thank you. Well, let's just talk about how much we love each other's shit.
Yeah, it does sound pathetic. So, it's very LA.
So you have your people call my people.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
So that's part of the reason you decided to do this. Tell me a little bit about Story Worthy and that notion and what made you finally decide to put yours into a book and
Story Worthy podcast has been going since July of 2010. I was inspired by Adam Carolla and Marc Maron, their shows, but then I was also inspired by The Moth. The Moth is the New York City storytelling show that's been around since 1997. And anyway, they're all in different cities now, The Moth. And in LA, there's three a month. And, cool. You know, you go to The Moth, anybody can get on stage. They pull names out of a hat. So if your name gets pulled, you go on stage. They pick 10 storytellers and tell a 5-minute story. So I used to go around town and do a lot of Moths, and that was another one of my inspirations. And anyway, I have a lot of stories because I've led sort of an interesting life and didn't get here to Los Angeles till I was 31. So the book, Pit to LAX, is really about anybody out there who has who's from another city and who's wanted to come to Los Angeles and they don't come or they put it off.
Right.
Or maybe not even LA.
Maybe they want to go to Chicago or something.
Or just getting out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you may as well just go for it because, as you know, perhaps you've heard, life is short.
Yeah.
Perhaps you've heard.
It is in the scheme of things, in the scheme of eternity.
Right.
Life is this particular life that you know and can remember right now, whatever you agree on in this plane, is kind of short.
It's so short.
Yeah.
It really is. And especially when, especially if kids getting out of college and stuff and they're 21, 22, they don't know what to do. It's take your time. You don't want to settle down. Who wants to settle down at 23, 25, 27? You got to live a little.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's interesting because I do have friends who had their kids young.
Mm.
Right. So now their kids are launched and grown and they're only in their 40s.
Are they doing things?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So that's kind of a cool thing, too.
That's another way.
That's another way. However,
if you do have those kids, then that's what you have to think. I didn't have my kid, but
it's a different way of thinking.
Right.
You have to change it, though,
because that's your life.
Right.
It's the way you're living. So you're going to skew. It's going to skew to that was the better decision.
Well, yeah, of course.
Right. My book is trying to reach the people who are now 22, 23, 24. And it reaches everybody, but the idea is to get out of your comfort zone.
And you never know what's going to happen. That which you think is your reality, in the Love Hurts chapter.
Oh, yeah.
That what you think is your reality is it's just
wasn't my reality.
What you think.
Right.
I don't want to give away all the stories here, which was the hardest story for you to share?
That Love Hurts one, which was about my first husband who got another girl pregnant, I'm flexible, Sophie.
Yeah.
But not that flexible. you know.
It's like, I'm open-minded. I'm flexible.
But I was a flight attendant at the time, and he was a musician. So I was always out of town.
Yeah.
So the fact that I didn't see that coming, I really still feel sort of naive about that, you know?
I mean,
but I was like 25, you know? I was quite young, so.
But you know how, I mean, how often, like, somebody is, you know, you realize that your husband, well, you don't realize that your husband's working out an awful lot and he's seeing his trainer like 3 days a week and he's really super committed. And then it's not until he's married to his trainer that you kind of figure out,
I heard this when I was still with my husband. Okay, this time I was like 25 years old and we weren't having a lot of sex. We'd only been married 1 year. And I remember somebody saying to me, if a guy doesn't want you to go down on him, then he is somebody else is blowing him. That's the bottom line.
Well, you know.
So it happens.
I kind of agree with that. I sort of have this theory that if you're married and you're not having any sex, then your man is either not well, depressed, or getting it elsewhere.
Mm.
Now, getting it elsewhere could be porn and masturbating too much, or just flat out getting it elsewhere.
Right.
Because we didn't get married to be celibate.
Mm.
So as much as, you know, I think there's this idea that it's like, oh, if you, sex isn't the most important thing in your relationship. You know, you want to marry your best friend and, you know, the sex part shouldn't really matter after a while. And it's like,
no, it should matter.
It should matter. It matters to him whether you like it or not. We're wired in kind of a, you know, a simple
way. We're animals.
We're mammals, baby.
Exactly. So that's what happened with that first husband.
And you don't get that in your 20s. You're like, oh, but it's so romantic.
I remember saying to him, you know, this is interesting that you don't want this because I heard da-da-da-da-da what I just said. And he goes, what? And I go, yeah, I heard. And I thought it was just funny at the time. I said, I heard that you must be getting it somewhere else. Ha, ha, ha. And because I was so young,
he was like, ha, 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 ha,
I heard the doorbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, in fact, what was going on. So that was sort of a hard chapter to write, but I'm so far removed from it. It was, in a way, enjoyable to write because I got to add a lot of references to the 80s and 90s. That's the time, you know, it was the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes.
And so the references are really funny.
Oh, the picture is very well painted.
Right.
Fantastic.
So that's sort of
I can
fun.
Smell the hairspray.
So, yeah, one of the harder chapters then to write was probably about being ill, you know, and surviving cancer. And just kind of, it's not just cancer, it's about getting ill in any way out of the blue. When you think you're young and strong and 31 and I'm a vegetarian and I run 5 miles a day and I'm, you know, and I had just, you know, gotten a physical exam in order to get into the Peace Corps, to backtrack a minute, you know.
Yeah.
Because it was in the Peace Corps that I was diagnosed with cancer. So it was kind of like it just came out of the blue. So part of the book deals with trying to – you know, as you know, part of life...
kind of blindsided.
Part of the greatness of life is knowing that it's very finite, right? So there's a... we all know we're going to die.
Right.
So with that knowledge, it's better to try to really live, you know, life to the fullest. And when you get close to like a little death scare like cancer, then it gives you that sort of appreciation. So I think it sort of kept me young in the long run, you know, because now I'm 18 years cancer-free. I'm 18 years
Yay!
Out. Yeah. So it's
a bit,
and I've been
that.
Out. I still get CAT scans and stuff now and then, but I'm cancer free. But I still, I really try to live kind of like a goofball, really.
You are a little goofy. But that is your most endearing quality.
Playful. I try to be like kind of playful, and I have a daughter, and so we're always kind of active.
Nice. Yeah. The hardest one for me, I wouldn't say the hardest. I think the most poignant one for me that, and maybe because a friend of mine and I have been talking about this topic quite a bit lately, was your loss of innocence.
Right.
Loss of innocence story.
Read rape. Rape.
Yes. Yeah. And...
it's not really one of the funnier chapters.
No, it's not. Boy, did it stick with me for a long time. Because, I have a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old, two daughters.
Mm.
And I literally was sitting next to my daughter when I was reading your book.
Oh, boy.
And I took a breath and I looked at her and I... And I had a little discussion about it. You know, I said, look, I just don't go up to boys' rooms. Okay. Yeah. Because
well, it wasn't his room, it was our room.
Or well, yes, you know. But the notion of the, it was very interesting. And you just my friend and I have talked about trying to figure out the mentality of young girls. What we don't want sex like when we're 15 necessarily. Right. Like, you know, what like when somebody says, do you want to go talk? Mm-hmm. You're thinking, great, you choose me, you like me, you want me, you want to talk to me, you might want to kiss me, you might want to make out with me.
15.
Oh my God, there's tongue. Like, and he 15, must be really into me.
By the way, back then 15 was very young. You know, maybe now that's
is,
like,
you know what?
15 is still young, but even then, I mean, I was, there, I'm just saying there were no R-rated movies for me. There was no HBO. There was no nothing on television.
Yeah, you didn't have like an internet full of porn at your fingertips.
Yeah, I was next to Amish. I mean, I'm just saying it was.
I get it. Yeah, and yet when I look at when you're reading this and you're sitting next to your 15-year-old daughter, 15 is fucking young.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just like
she's a baby.
You know, you're just a baby. And I basically what I said to her is, you know, because she we've talked about everything. My daughter's very open with me, and I said, you know, I have no problem with you being a sexual person. Like, I want you to ultimately have a great sex life. I just want it to be your choice.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. And, you know,
it needs to be.
It
just
needs to
be.
Yeah, that's all. I just want it to be a positive experience, you know?
I know. It's really sweet when I hear those stories.
Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. And here's what's really cool about buying from Casper. It's completely risk-free. Not only do they offer free delivery, but they offer free returns within a 100-day period. It's that simple. Because, you know, you go and lie on a bed for 4 minutes in a showroom, and then you make this enormous investment. And there's nothing to say that that's really going to be the right bed for you. So you get to try this out for 3 months or more. And then if you really don't like it, you can return it completely risk-free. That's amazing to me. So try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. They're made in America and obsessively engineered at a shockingly fair price. So go to www.casper.com/MILF, that's M-Y-L-F, and get $50 toward any mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, everybody. Before we get started, I really want to tell you about BoxyCharm.com. This is a beauty subscription box, and they send you full-size products. It's so cool. I'm looking at these gorgeous lipsticks and name brand cosmetics, and they promise a value of $95 a month or more, but it's got to be more because these things are full-size, high-end cosmetics. And shipping is free, and there's no long-term commitment. So definitely check out BoxyCharm.com. And it's fun.
Because along with Storyworthy, we play a game called Shotgun Storyworthy. And that's basically when people spin this big wheel that has different topics on it. And one of the topics is virginity. Mm. When you land on the topic, you tell a one-minute story. So over the years, I've heard a lot of virginity stories.
I bet. Yeah.
And when they are sweet and consensual and, you know, we were in college and then he went and did this and I went and did this because we knew we were going to get together. And there was like a buildup and a setup and a space and privacy and, consent.
Consent. Yes.
It really is a much better story.
Oh, it's
And I always
love
so heartwarm. Yeah, I know.
It's,
I'm so
I know.
Heartwarm.
It makes my heart warm.
Yeah.
Yes, to hear
so,
those stories.
Right. So that's one of the chapters in my book. That's what we're talking about is that, you know, I did not have that good first experience. And so that makes me happy, though, that you kind of gained something from it.
Oh, I did. And it just, you know, just gave me another window of opportunity to talk to my daughter. But what I was happy to go on and read was that you did have a nice, healthy sex life after that.
Yeah, I did.
Good girl.
Especially in college. Right. Oh, my goodness. So silly.
Yeah. So
I had little periods in my life that it would be like that.
Yeah.
After my first marriage, you know, there were periods in my life.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's what, you know, like I kind of wish that for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like on a roll right now. I'm in a, like, I don't even, I,
Wait, are you you're with the same person?
Yeah,
You're with the same. You've been with this guy for like 7 years, right?
Mm-hmm, almost, yeah.
Okay, and are you married? Or are you thinking
we're not getting married
because you have two different residences.
Yes,
and so how
we live
that
around
work
the
out?
Corner from
you
each
live
other.
Around and how does that work out? Do you borrow a cup
great.
Of sugar? Or?
Yes, totally, all the time.
Do you have?
Do you guys have any bananas?
Do you have any meals
here
together?
We text each other. Do you guys? Okay, what do we? You know, sometimes we have dinner together. And we run back and forth to the
does
house.
Does it occur to either of you that you could live in one bigger place?
Oh yes, but you remember we have 6 children between the two of us.
Yeah, that's what makes it so tricky, being middle-aged. And we are middle-aged.
Yeah, not I mean, tricky. Me, don't live together.
Yeah, right.
Let me make it easy for you.
there's so many people involved.
There are so many.
So you've got you, your girls,
needs,
your ex-husband.
Agendas.
Your ex-husband, and if he's married.
He's living with his
somebody.
Girlfriend.
Okay, so
yes.
Then there's 5 right there. And then the guy you're seeing, mm-hmm. he's got him, his ex. How mm-hmm. many kids?
4 kids.
4 kids.
You know, and then remember, now 2 of the kids are, they're 19 and 23, the daughters, but, well, let's see, the 23-year-old stayed there last night. So,
you have
and then
like,
the 19-year-old has a boyfriend, very serious yeah. boyfriend, and then her parents.
This is like 2 dozen people.
It's a million people.
It's unbelievable.
And I think that what's nice about the not living together part is that ultimately, when it comes down to it, you know, you got a million people and you got all these agendas, right?
Right.
But the agendas don't have to clash day to day, right? So I still have autonomy within making my decisions about my household, my parenting, my kids, all those things, you know? Whereas when you blend families, people try to maintain some autonomy and like,
so what do you think ultimately when the children are out of high school or college that you think, well, maybe we will move back, we'll move together or...
I'm totally on the spot here. No, I'm kidding. No, we do. We talk about, of course, for no other reason. I mean, it's nice to, you know, reduce your expenses a little bit.
Yeah, and like, a bed together.
But I don't want to move in together because of expenses. But
do you run back and forth in bathrobes down the street naked?
Not quite.
And what is the address
However,
exactly?
there have been, there have been some morning walks home in, you know, last night. Yes, but it's so not
shame. The walk of shame is like a neighbor.
It's
like a neighbor
shame. Oh, but it's hilarious because I do think that there's some moms in the neighborhood that think he's kind of hot. You
yeah,
know?
Sure.
And so then
sure.
in the beginning, you know, when they'd see the girlfriend like stumbling out in her short dress in the morning.
Do you ring the doorbell?
No.
What you should do is take a loaf of bread with you. Then you can say I was either borrowing a loaf of bread or I was lending him
of
bread.
I would be much more likely to be like, nah, it was just a little afternoon delight.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Lucky me.
See, there you go.
So, yeah, we make it work. It's really nice because, you know, my house, I say it's some days it's the love shack and some days it's the red tent.
Wow.
So just back away. So like my
specific.
Sanctuary is my sanctuary.
Did you meet because you're neighbors or did you meet somewhere else?
No, we met on Match.com.
You met on Match.com and by chance you were neighbors.
No.
One of you moved next to the other one.
Yes.
That is so intentful and specific, isn't it?
Well, yes, I know nobody believes me, but I was intending by middle school to move west anyway because the schools are much better.
I believe
and
you.
And so I was so that's one
I
of the reasons
don't believe you,
I was
you
happy to have my search
down the street.
When I was on Match, I actually dated a couple guys in Thousand Oaks,
I see.
I was fine with like meeting somebody out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first like I don't know year and a half or 2 years or whatever, we burned up the 101 between man, you can
it's tough.
When you're horny, you can get from Westlake to Encino in like 17 minutes.
It's so interesting how short the distance becomes
when you
date
you
somebody with a freeway in between you. At first you think I can't be this geographically distant
undesirable
from you. And then the next thing you know you're thinking, well shit, to Malibu I can get there in 24 minutes if
that's
I put
right
my mind to it. You know, yeah, it is really interesting.
It's very interesting. So how did this become about my story-worthy life?
Well, no,
so,
we're just talking about, you know, consensual sex and how nice that is.
It's very nice.
Anyway, no, but I think that everybody out there has a story. And my game show, Shotgun Story-Worthy, revolves around the idea that everybody has a story. So on this wheel that I have, this game show, there's 16 topics. And some of the topics are things like vacation, mom, childhood, pets, and so things that everybody has a story for. One of the topics might be kids. And if you don't have kids, you know kids or you were a kid. So the idea is that everyone has a story and how quickly can you tell the story and in what period of time. So a minute is truly long enough to tell almost any story. People think it's a short enough amount of time. It's really not.
Well, and brevity is
the key to all wit. Was that Hemingway?
I don't know, but
the key to
whoever
wit is
said
brevity.
It
yeah.
was pretty smart.
I think it was
and
Hemingway. And brief.
He summed it up right
so
there.
So anyway, so everybody
really,
has a
so
story.
Ultimately, that would be my question is what do you want people to walk away from?
I want people to buy my board game, Shotgun Storyworthy. It doesn't exist yet, but that's what I'm going for.
Okay.
And also to see the television show, Shotgun Storyworthy, because, you know, there's the dancing show. Perhaps you're familiar. The Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes.
And then there's, of course, American Idol, the singing
that one.
Show.
Yes.
This is going to be the storytelling show.
I love this.
Because everybody has a story. And then it'll transfer to the board game. It's like Trivial Pursuit from the 80s, but now it's 2015, and it's all about us, right?
So
we all have our
Christine
own websites. We have our
Blackburn Mogul.
That's Storyworthy Media.
Yes, that's what you want.
And that brings me to my next topic.
Okay, that brings me to
Storyworthy Media.
Okay.
Oh, no, honestly, Sophie, because I have been doing a lot of different things.
Yes.
I needed kind of an umbrella title. And so Storyworthy Media covers my publishing and my podcast and my game show and my social media services because I do social media for people.
Well done.
Yeah, well, you know,
we'll
gotta make a dollar.
Ultimately, when people read your book,
they will be inspired to have 7 jobs, not just one.
They're not going to buy it if you say that.
Oh.
No. What do you want people to get from the book, Christine?
I don't know. I think inspired. Really? No, it's truly. It's like an inspiration. And I'm like not mushy inspirational person, but my story kind of speaks for itself. So it is inspirational. So there you go.
I think it translates that way. I do. I think that
it does.
I think that in all of your all of your humor and all of in your tone, you still inspire.
Sadness.
You do.
No,
shut.
You know, it is about moving forward. You know,
I give
you
up.
Get knocked down, you got to bounce back up. What is
That's
your
right.
option? What is your option? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you want to sit inside the house with the TV blaring all day as like background noise and then just eat out of the refrigerator all day?
Yes.
Is that the plan?
That is an option, and we do like to comfort ourselves with our options.
Yeah.
But you're still going to wake up tomorrow in your own shoes, in your own bed, in
right.
your own that
right.
you made.
And I like jeans when they fit a little looser. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of the motto I live by. Let your jeans fit a little looser. Do you know what I mean, Roddy?
Yeah.
Because when they're tight and
when
stuff,
they're tight and you
like,
cross your legs, it hurts.
I
there's
ate
binding.
Too much. It did
there's
more.
Red marks.
Right. So
you
just
know?
Eat a little less. Let your jeans fit looser. That's my new
that's
wisdom.
That's the title of the next book, Loose Jeans.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, well, I hope that you are all now going to embrace your Storyworthy life.
Yes.
Thanks to Ms. Christine Blackburn. So I know you've just been plugging yourself for like the last 5 minutes, but just let's give them an umbrella. Where the hell do they find you? Where do they find your book?
Well, you know what?
Because I want them to read your book.
Okay, storyworthymedia.com. That gives you everything. Storyworthymedia.com gives you the podcast and the game show and the publishing and the book is there, et cetera. That's all you need to know.
And your styling.
That's
now
right.
You have a styling service, too.
Instagram.
Loose jeans for all.
@Storyworthy. And, of course, Twitter @Storyworthy.
So oh, yeah. God, Storyworthy. I'm doing Instagram now, too. I think my Instagram is Make Your Life Fabulous.
It's a lot of fun.
God, all that social media stuff.
It's
okay,
fun.
You can find me on Facebook @Sophie Venable and tweet me @Sophie_Venable. If you're on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, could you please click subscribe, because that would totally help my cause. Be sure to download your free goal-setting workbook from my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com, and my book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. Thank you again, Christine, for being here.
A pleasure.
And thank you all for listening.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.